I think you need to be in a place where, like, you know what you want and you know what your value is and you know what you're showing up with. And it's really hard to have that at like 22 or something.
Hello and welcome to the Now Then podcast. In this conversation, we speak to Margot Bowman. We discuss her love for animation, her approach to documentary, and why club culture sits in the heart of everything she does. This episode is sponsored by The Gate Plus, produced by Jack Kirkwood. We hope you enjoy. Now then, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. You've been a bit of a talk of town with us, haven't you, Ozzy?
You have, yeah.
Aww. Been popping up on loads of conversations.
Oh, that's recently. Really nice. Thank you.
Well, to the point where I was like, trying to figure out who we all had in common, because I'm quite surprised we've never crossed paths before as well.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you have been around, but I feel like you've gone to different production companies and everything like that. So
I think I've just not had a very linear trajectory. Like, I feel like I've really had a very exploratory kind of creative career. And I think, yeah, there's loads of reasons why that is. But I think it's partly just my nature. Like, I think I'm just such a curious person. I always want to kind of try different things. And, like, I love, yeah, just, I'm so curious about the world. And I think it just all feeds into my creative practice. And I'm quite, like, medium agnostic. But because I didn't, like, go to film school and kind of do that route, I think it's taken, like, time for me to just earn the kind of credibility I've needed to, like, really work as a director. And while I've kind of been on that journey, I've gone and done other things and really enjoyed those things and then brought those things back into filmmaking. So it's been quite like...
Did it start as a filmmaker then? Was the directory there or did it start somewhere else?
No, like, I didn't actually didn't have any kind of desire to, like, be a director as a child or as, like, a young person. I think I just didn't have... I didn't come from that kind of environment where, like, the only person who... I didn't even know there were directors. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't, like, in that kind of environment. Yeah. And I knew... I also didn't really have, I think, the confidence to see myself as that kind of person for a long time. And then it just... I had such a multidisciplinary, like, trajectory, which I can talk about in more detail. But it just got to a point in, like, 2020 where I was just really aware that in film, I could do all the things, like, I love doing. It's world building, and that's something that I've always been, like, fascinated by. And reality making and questioning and all of that stuff. And I think because of that, it's just become an increasingly, like, it's my home base.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, looking at your work, because you use a lot of different kind of mediums to kind of bring your work together. And what's quite nice about, again, you were just saying in terms of you as an artist, you kind of love to use, you know, loads of different things to express yourself. Like, you kind of see that within your work, because you kind of see commercial stuff, and then you've got this documentary arm that's on some of your subjects is a bit more rougher and a bit more kind of, you know, tactile and agile, kind of working with your subject. And then you've got this kind of more animation-led pieces, but there's a really similar thread that runs through them all, actually. Your tone of voice really does kind of run through them. So it's quite freeing, actually, to look at a reel that isn't just kind of grounded to one specific tone of voice. Do you know what I mean? Mm. We were chatting about it earlier, and it's like, it's nice to see an artist who you're open to exploring different ways of producing work.
Yeah, totally. And I also think it's because I've kind of done, like, creative direction alongside directing. And that's, like, allowed me to, like, I'm not doing every job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and obviously I think that might change in different instances, but, like, I think it's just taken me a minute to get to where I am. And I think that's because the brief kind of needs to be right. Or, like, I also love it so much when it's, like, working in advertising, when creatives, like, see work in my reel that isn't there already, because I know that my reel's not, like, the most kind of conventional reel out there, and I'm okay with that, and it's good. But it just means, like, not every opportunity is going to be right. And then even with an opportunity or something that's kind of, like, you know, self-motivated, like coming home, the doc you mentioned, that's, like, it's about turning it into telling the story in like the language that makes sense to like me and the people I'm collaborating with.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that for me came from just like, I lived in the US for like 4 years from 2016 to 2020. And it was just a really positive experience and for lots of reasons. But one of them was, I think, just the level of like competition that you're like faced with and the scale of the industry there. And like, not just as a filmmaker, just as a creative person trying to like make it happen. And I think that whole experience just made me really aware and like reflect on like, what is my voice? Like, who am I? What is my purpose? How am I going to tell this story? Why should I do it this way? And that is something that I think that's a conversation I had to have with myself. But then increasingly it's like been so great to find collaborators who can see that as well. Like Shiv at Merman is like amazing at that. She can see things in briefs that I can't see yet.
Yep.
And she can be like, I can see how you would do this, you know? And I think that's like really, was just really positive. I think the more, when you have your own tonality and your own kind of like dialect as a creative person, you have to keep speaking, you have to keep making work so people understand what you're doing because they're interested in it, but they don't, you know, they can't translate it if there isn't enough of it out there. So it's like, you have to keep making like evidence of what you're about.
Yeah. We always talk about this, finding your tone of voice as an artist, as a director. And I guess we can all become quite pinned to it, actually, of like, this is me. Like, this is the kind of like thing I'm doing.
Yeah. And then you do something else the next year and you go, actually, no, this is me.
Yeah, well,
it shifts.
I wonder if it's almost a case that it's quite restricting in many ways, you know, to kind of have to build these walls around us and be like, well, I only work in this way and this is my kind of feeling that I like to kind of tap into. It's quite nice to hear you talking about it as if you've just, you know, I don't know, you still kind of
Yeah, totally. I'm totally
still. Am I making sense?
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
I think that like also is so much of it is like, it's like opportunity, you know, it's so opportunity based. It's like when you look at people, even with like heads of department and you're like, oh, this person kind of does this thing. And it's like, well, they might just do that thing because like, they're just getting those jobs because they're friends with that person or whatever it is. But I think it's not just because I started out, I studied graphic design at St. Martin's and I was always really good at like drawing. So I kind of could have been like an illustrator. That was like the most obvious thing I could have done. And the reason I didn't want to pursue that like discipline further is because it is very like one trick pony. Like the way to be successful as an illustrator is you have a thing that you do and you just do it on water bottles, you know, car campaigns, like clothing, you just do that thing and you become like a meme of yourself.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to like develop that, your purpose and your voice and everything else. And I think what I love about film is like there's this inherent kind of dance between like what you are interested in doing, what the material is and what the circumstances are. And you're never going to have control over that situation. You're always going to be kind of, yeah, like dancing. And to your point though about like tone of voice or like perspective or just, like I don't think of it as like a singular thing.
Mm.
Like I think of my whole practice is just very informed by like club culture and like nightclubs and parties. And that is like how I show up to kind of like, that's what informs my creative process. And by that, I mean, like, I'm really interested in collaboration and I love that film is like the sum of its parts and there's all these different people with different energies showing up and like together you all make this thing. And I love that it's like a dance floor. It's connected to the real world, but it's separate from the real world, you know? Mm. And it's kind of, it can be mind altering or it can be like a parallel universe or it's real, but it's also constructed. And that's more for me is like at the heart of what I do is like, that's kind of the heart. And then everything else just comes out of that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's great to hear you talk about it like that. It's a good way
it's
of
great analogy.
Articulating it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah, I've definitely had people be like, yeah, this is like interesting, but like, what is it? That's kind of been how people have responded to my work for like all through like my 20s and my, like, that's kind of the reaction I've got is like people were interested. they liked it. They could see it was like original and creative, and there was like an energy about it. But they were like, what do I do with it? What is it? Is it art? Is it, you know,
Yeah.
So I think telling the story of like my own approach has, like, I've had to think about it because I've, do you know what I mean? I've had to talk about it.
And do you feel like explaining that helps people understand your work more?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think also just practice and reflection and time, like understanding what you're doing and also doing things and realizing, oh, I don't like doing that or I do like doing this. Like, I think that's something that it just develops as well. It's like, you know what you're not, you know?
Yeah.
And
which sometimes you can get a pressure on, especially if like you're just starting out as a new filmmaker. Say you've done like one great thing and a production company bags you up. And then you're kind of expected to do that throughout, but obviously you're still learning and experiencing things as you're doing on job. So things can change and tastes can change. And I always think it's quite scary for young filmmakers to be bagged up really quick from a production company and then have that pressure. Because you can't go on set all the time because it's hard enough to win jobs sometimes. You know?
Yeah, totally. I also think it's just production companies, their own thing. Like, the person who signs you like goes on maternity leave, or you know, the person who you love there leaves the company. Like, it's such a, I think you need to be in a place where like you know what you want and you know what your value is and you know what you're showing up with, and it's really hard to have that at like 22 or something. So it's definitely been like a journey, and I'm really grateful for like all the places I've kind of worked with, and now I'm with Merman, and it's like really sweet and nice and supportive, and I think it's been really good to like there's kind of before and after COVID version of like how I've showed up, and like, you know, I moved back to the UK in that period as well and just understood myself as a filmmaker so much more, and a lot of that was to do with like coming home, being a really like successful doc short, and just the learning I had like going to film festivals, and like I think that project really unlocked like what is the film industry, like okay, this is, if you want to do this you need to do this, this and this, like if you want to do that you need to do that and that, and like there's just so much gatekeeping, it's like insane, and I'm just like,
especially that side of things,
oh the whole thing is crazy gatekeeping. And like me and all my friends, I'm just like, we just need to like figure out how to get into the house and then like take over. And I think that was a really good experience in terms of like learning more.
Did you do Coming Home independently then?
Yeah. So I made that with Naeem Naif, who's like my co-director.
It might be quite nice just to give a bit of a top line of what that's about actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So Coming Home is a documentary short that I made in 2021, came out in 2022. I made it in collaboration with my really good friend Naeem Naif. And yeah, it was a crazy experience. It was definitely like when a project finds you. I had been living in New York, and then like due to COVID chaos, I ended up moving back to the UK. And I had a friend who was a dance curator, and she basically was working with this dance festival in the US. They were commissioning films instead of doing like the normal kind of IRL festival because of the pandemic. And so she approached me to make a film about a dancer in Ireland. So in the beginning, we were just like looking at that, you know, pre-production, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, in the end, that didn't really end up working out because the dancer's mum didn't want him to, you know, get distracted from his like GCSEs or whatever. So then I was like, let's still do something. She's like, 100%. What do you think about, you know, this person, or this person? And one of the groups she was interested in was Freedom Debka Group, who's this Palestinian-American dance troupe in Brooklyn. And I was like, oh, that's great. Let's do that. Because I wasn't in New York at the time, but I was like, I could remote direct it. And I've got like crew and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's all going well. Wheels are turning. I hit up my friend Naeem because he'd produced a music video for me before and he's Palestinian American. I was like, do you want to like work on this thing together? I think it could be really cool. He's like, yeah, 100%. And like, bearing in mind at the time, I'm like, Palestine, cool. Like, I'm not really thinking that deeply about it. I'm like generally, you know, free Palestine, but I'm not like deep in the cut. Anyway, then it turned out the film, the festival that we'd originally been commissioned by to make the film had got some funding from like the Israeli cultural consulate like a couple of years ago, which for obvious reasons didn't make it a good fit for the project anymore. So we kind of withdrew the film from the festival, all on like really good terms. Everyone was very understanding and just decided like me and Naim were like, okay, we're going to make something. We're going to make a festival film. That's what we're going to do. And at that point, Megan Doherty, who runs like an independent production company called Portal, she's like basically just a friend of ours. And she was like, I think this is really good. Yeah, she supported the project. But we had like $5,000. Like, it was like nothing. Yeah. And then our DP, Kenny Sulemanagic, he was just down. I'd worked with him a bunch of times before. Everyone just works on it out of love. Like that project is like, you know, one of those like 200K love budgets. And we just kept making it basically. And we shot about half of it while I was still in the UK. I couldn't get back into the US because of the travel ban. And then finally I got like an exemption to the travel ban. I could go back into America and we shot the kind of second half of it. And then, yeah, Aika Miyake edited it. She's just done a bunch of episodes of Shogun. I don't know if you guys have watched that.
Oh, I've not actually.
Yeah, I know it, yeah.
It's so good. Yeah.
Wow.
And she was just someone I was like, had worked with. And yeah, we just made it and like got into South By, and that just unlocked like so much stuff for us.
Well, I guess the key thing, what you said there is like, you know, it unlocks things like that. It's a lot of questions from filmmakers making films and like, do festivals do anything? Because there's a lot of money spent and there's a lot of duff festivals out there. Yeah. So I always just say, pick the right ones, man.
Also, you shouldn't have to pay. Like if your project's good, what we found out after spending like $300 on festivals is like, if your project's good and it's something that's self-funded, you know, you should be able to reach out to the festival programmers and say, look, I've made this thing and like it's self-funded. You know, would you be open to like waiving the fee? Here's a link. Like, you know, send a kind of nice email. I think like people who program film festivals love films.
Yeah.
And they want to have, they want to see talent rise. So I think that experience of like going to festivals was like game changing for me. Like 100%.
Meet a lot of people there.
Yeah. And just like, I think from, as someone who didn't go to film school, the kind of like geography of the industry and like, you know, if like, as someone who was like working in London, I was like, okay, so like music videos and then like, I guess like ads and then maybe like music videos and then maybe one day, I don't know, you know, I didn't have like a roadmap.
It's a really chaotic industry, isn't it? It's so messy and there's so many people. It's like, how do you get to, you know, I'm also going to ask you about Merman as well, but just sticking on this point of like getting to the right people, that's where you find them at the festivals, because it really does narrow down the gate of, you know, who goes to festivals. Genuinely, they're the supporters of film, really. They're the right people to meet. Obviously, not everyone's going to be there, but you do find yourself in corners of rooms talking to producers, like, and things happen, don't they? But I would always say try and go and support your film at film festivals, because, you know, it's all about meeting people in person.
100%. I even think even if you meet like one person, you can just meet one person that like unlocks stuff, and not in the present. Like, I think you can just, also it's just so powerful to have just meaningful relationships with people that do the same thing as you.
Yeah.
Never mind like, are you getting some direct transactional thing out of it? It's more just like the love of, and the like bonding and the like, you know, everyone is doing this because they're really passionate about it and they find like a deep sense of like fulfillment in that passion. And I think being surrounded by people who all feel the same way as you is amazing. And like, I think especially like we were at South By in 2022 and just showing the film that, you know, has this, it's kind of small p political, like it's not explicitly a political film, but by nature of the fact that, you know, the participants are Palestinian and it's not a political film, but it's like a gateway drug into people finding more out about what Free Palestine means.
But I think that's what makes the film so strong. It's not just about, it is about this one community, but there's a bigger picture surrounding it and a bigger point surrounding it, which I found really great.
Yeah. And also like...
Yeah, it's intimate.
Totally. And they're also great, you know, and they're as Brooklyn as they are Palestine. Like they're like all in like Jordans doing Debka, you know, and I think it's really like about that hybrid. And obviously I'm not Palestinian. Naeem is Palestinian-American. But it was really nice because I think I'd made a couple of films about like how kind of music or dance kind of builds like bridges in communities, and had a lot of experiences like that myself. And then it was like this really great collaboration because Naeem comes from like a documentary making background. He's a production manager on How To with John Wilson. I know the best.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He's like a legend. And also had all this like,
I've not heard of that. But...
Oh, you need to watch it. It's amazing. So good, yeah.
Yeah.
Had all this really deep, you know, cultural knowledge. And it was just like a really good exchange of just like skills and like friendship. You know, this is someone who I'm like really, really close with. And I think a lot of people supported the project because it obviously it's a really topical like issue today. But in 2022, it's not something that was necessarily part of the kind of like conversations that people were having about progressive politics. Sometimes it was something that was left behind. And I think it was able to kind of open up a conversation in a way that, you know, it wasn't offensive to anybody. And it just comes from like a really human place. And I think that's the most important thing about it.
I'd like to just go back, actually. So you've got this amazing documentary that's done really well, and you've just done a new documentary, a feature doc on Prime Video called The Tour.
Yeah.
Did that come after?
That's afterwards, yeah. That was after.
So it's quite interesting. I feel like it's a really nice fit with Merman, because Merman's a kind of hybrid, I feel like.
Yeah.
With commercial, long-form TV, documentaries.
Didn't do that with Merman, though, did you?
No, I didn't. Did that before.
Yeah.
But it made me feel really confident about like going where I was going to go next.
So really coming home, do you feel like that was a bit of a turning point?
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. So how did you get this documentary moving, The Victoria's Secret? This is called The Tour 23.
Yeah. So I got that off the creative directors on the Amazon project had seen Coming Home, and they like just really loved that film.
Again, just like coming back to making something purely out of passion.
Yeah.
We always say it, don't we, Ozzy? Make something that you want to make and
things will happen.
Things can happen. Cool. Carry on.
Yeah, so the creative director of that really liked Coming Home, and I think they and the way that project, that's a very unusual project, just to clarify the tour. So basically it's a feature documentary that's all about the reimagining of the Victoria's Secret's fashion show. And the story takes place in four cities, London, Lagos, Bogota, Tokyo. In each city, there's five women, all artists. One of them is a filmmaker. And each one of the artists is making something for this reimagined fashion show. And the filmmaker in that city is documenting the process of the other artists in her city. So I was the London documentary director. It was a journey.
Because you're in it as well.
I'm in it as well.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I'm really grateful that I get to be... I don't really want to be, like, in front of the camera. That's not what I actually want to do for the rest of my life. But I'm aware that I think we're just in this point in culture where, like, there is kind of, like, visibility is kind of a thing. And if you... I think it's a really big wide sliding scale of like people who can perform their services on camera or on social media do really, really well.
Mm.
I'm not like, you know, I'm not super far up that spectrum of like happy to be on camera and perform doing what I'm doing, but I'm happy to be like visible because I think it can be interesting. It's not something I'm like comfortable with, but I don't mind doing it, like the Adobe talk you mentioned. Like, I don't mind doing it. And I also think it just opens up more doors. There's just other types of opportunities I get to have. And it's just interesting.
Making yourself visible on a different platform.
Well, it's also like, you know, so like another young girl can sit and go, oh, fuck, I can be a director. Totally. I can be a photographer.
Totally.
You know, through a very male-dominated industry.
Totally. Like what I said to you earlier, like I didn't think I could be a director because I didn't even know there were like women directors. Like I just didn't know that. And well, like, why would I have known that, you know? So, yeah, I think, and also like even looping back to the history thing and the like, the archive, like, I think that's really, we're all contributing to that, this like collective archive.
Great. And actually, speaking about the Adobe talk that you did, I need to watch it. Oh, I'm sorry, I've not watched it. Oh, yeah, we just watched little snippets of it.
Don't worry.
All the best bits.
Mushrooms was a topic that you spoke about on there.
Yeah.
I'd love to kind of dive into that a little bit and yeah, chat more about that, really.
Yeah, so I am very influenced by mushrooms. I think it's kind of, there's a really great book called Entangled Life, This Entangled Life. And that's like Melvin Sheldrake, if anyone's interested. And it's just all about mushrooms. It's about fungi and like, you know, how they, the world, like this big network of fungi that like covers the planet and how they collaborate and, you know, the ecosystems and like just how they affect like everything, and everything that they do is all based on like this decentralized approach to collaboration. And it's just kind of become a bit of a like guiding light for me, I guess. Like I...
Oz is just ordering the book on Amazon right now.
Yeah, you should get it. Audible. No.
It's also kind of funny because you're like, wow, I'm reading 400 pages about mushrooms. But it's not, that book's not so much about the kind of like, it does go into like psychedelics a bit, but it's more just about how ubiquitous and successful this organism is. And how adaptable it is. And I read that book in the pandemic and I like, it is the reason that I wanted to kind of stay in London, because I was like really thinking about, you know, okay, I want to be part of like an ecosystem and I want to like contribute to my, like I was like born in London. I'm a Londoner. And I wanted to really, you know, contribute to like telling the story of my city and collaborate with people and like build something. And just kind of, I think there's a slowness about like fungi that I really, has been a really good lesson for me. Like it's not instant, it takes time, but it's like step by step by step, holding hands with like hundreds of other people. Like you can do things that are hard or seem challenging or whatever. And it's just about rooting in and like being in the place that you're at. And so it's kind of mostly that, like I'm not coming at it from a like, I microdose like every day, which is great. I know.
It's kind of like the big metaphorical version of it.
Yeah. And also it's just like the big picture, which I think is so hard to like see when you're like in the throes of like, you've lost a job or you're like stressed or, you know, you don't feel like your career is going the way that you want it to go. And I think there's almost like a kind of like zero ego about the whole mushroom approach. Because it's not about one part of like the fungi network leading. It's about the whole thing growing together. And I think you kind of have to have a bit of faith that like you've put in the work, like it's going to kind of come back. It just might take a bit longer than you were hoping for.
The mushroom philosophy.
Mate.
I like it a lot.
And I guess like one thing that there's been a bit of a kind of hot topic recently is this whole... how our industry at the minute is kind of like in a big change, you know, shift in shape, not too sure where it's going to end up. But how have you found this year with your line of work?
Well, the thing is, I just feel like it's always been a fucking recession. There's always been like, do you not feel like that? I feel like every time I start doing something, they're like, oh yeah, well, this has been a really bad year, but last year, you know, like
to be fair,
5 years
make sure
ago.
We're better. Yeah. We're better. It'll pick
it's,
up.
It's just like, isn't it always like that? Mm. I mean, yeah, I think I feel like I've had a good year. Definitely felt like before the election, like in the lead up to the election, it was very like crickets. You know, but I think, I guess I was fortunate because I'm like started my debut feature. So I was just been kind of like writing in that period.
Yeah, that's something else. You're jumping ahead right now, Maga.
Sorry, guys.
I'm jumping ahead. But let's do that. Go for it.
But yeah, no, but I do think it's been quiet. And I just, I don't know. It's like, but then you, there's obviously, there is work happening. And also when people are like, oh, it's really quiet, but then like you try, you get a job and then you try and like book a piece of equipment and it's, you can't get the equipment. So I'm like, so what?
Because Ozzy's got it all.
Because I've been stealing everything.
But do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, it's obviously not.
I thought it was quiet. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, why can't I book a like first aider?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Do you have because you mentioned you creative direct as well.
Yeah.
So then apart from directing, do you have other forms of like creative things you do to kind of keep yourself financially stable and creatively stable?
Yeah, like I was like creative director at Boiler Room, and then I was like a creative director at Universal Music Group. That was when I was living in the US, and I haven't done as much of it. I do like specific projects, like if something's like really just feels right or it's like a good fit, it can be really fun. Like I'm doing something at the moment and it's great. Like the team I'm working with is great. There's like things that I feel like are inspiring, like other work I'm doing. But it is also, it's a time pressure. And I think, especially with like, I mean, commercials are so intense that you kind of don't have any time to think. So like that just eats up like its own sort of thing. But then I think with like writing long form, it is hard to like find the balance of like the time to commit to it and make it good. Like, I think I'm sure you guys resonate with this, but I'm a creative person. Like, I can just come up with ideas. I can sit around and just come up with ideas. But what I've really noticed with like the feature is like, you can't just like react to notes. Like you actually have to feel it out. And that is a different, I think with commercials, it's all about making decisions and instinctively making decisions, red chair, green chair, you know, yellow car, etc. And coming at that from a really like solid base of like the brief, your treatment, like you've done all the thinking up front. The whole production process is just like adapt, deliver, adapt, deliver, adapt, deliver. But with like writing and like features, it's just, it's not as, I don't know, it's just, it's not
it's
as
a bit
clear.
More of a massage game, I think.
Yeah, it's not as clear cut as that. And I think you've really got to like listen to yourself.
Yeah, you've got to really sink into it, I think, as well. And there's a really, it's really easy to go, oh, this is never going to get made. Fuck this. Why am I wasting my time? You know, I think that thought can come in quite easily and quickly, actually, if suddenly you start questioning everything that you're putting down on the page. But I think you've got to really just...
Keep.
Well, self-belief is a lot of it.
Yeah.
You've got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I love getting swallowed up in a world, mate.
Yeah.
It honestly, it takes my mind away from everything else.
Yeah.
Gives me purpose. Gives me something to do. It's exercising the muscle. And regardless, you usually find something along the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of them I think you need to just totally...
It's hard. Like, from a lifestyle perspective, I think you have to really have it down. Like people with kids, I'm like, I'm just so impressed.
Yeah,
I'm like,
wow.
You guys, like, incredible. But for me, it's like I'm a really early morning person, so like the most productive I'll be as a writer is like if I wake up and I just like go to my desk, and from like 7:30, I can get up earlier if I need to, but like, you know, 7 till about 11:30, that is like prime time for me. And I can get like 3 or 4 really good hours actually done. Like, I'll like deliver like the things, you know, when there's like blocks you need to like get through. That's like really, really good time for me. The rest of the day is like, you know, roll of the dice. But like the morning, that's my time.
Yeah.
So you're still writing at the moment, still developing
it? Yeah. It's just like, it's, especially with this year, I think it's taken a minute. It's like, it's storytelling on a scale that I've not done before. So I think a lot of it is probably, a lot of the things I'm exploring are things you just cover in film school, to be really honest. But love being self-taught, yeah. And I'm always here for like everyone who's self-taught.
I think it's quite nice to go into it with an innocent eye sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you can all surround yourself with all you do is surround yourself with, I think anyway, roles. People who are better than you, you know, better DP, production designer, anything. Yeah. If you're there to tell a story, I think that's all you kind of...
Yeah, and also I think, like, for me, it's about, like, holding on to, like, your vision despite being in unfamiliar, like, territory. Because I definitely remember some of the, like, earlier instances I had. Like, I remember the first time I shot something live action. Because initially I was making a lot of, like, animated work. That was kind of how it, like, started. And I remember the first live action, shoot I did, going into the grade, and I had no idea what a grade was. Like, I literally didn't know. And obviously my producer didn't explain it to me because she thought I knew what it was. Because, like, why wouldn't I know what it was? Do you know what I mean? And just not having, like, just literally no real meaningful feedback apart from, like, I was like, wow, that's so cool. Like, you can do this and you can do that. And then you just end up doing what the colorist thinks you should do, which isn't, like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I do feel like what's been really, really good over the last couple of years is just really, like, learning more about the technical side of the process. And that's just empowered me so much in terms of the kinds of conversations I can have with, like, heads of department and, like, just actually the creativity that comes out of it. And that's what was really positive about the Amazon Prime doc, is because that was the first long form project I'd worked on. So it was like, we're shooting for like 3 months. So I had, like, you know, multiple shoot dates, and I'd never actually had that opportunity to, like, not have to get it right in one day, to have, like, days, weeks to, like, adjust, get it right, like, da da da. And Korshan Schlauer was the DP I worked with on that, and he was so supportive in terms of, like, actually explaining to me, like, this is what this lens does, this is what this lens does, like, this is, if we put this filter on it, this is what it's going to do. Because when you're shooting doc, you have to make the storytelling work with, like, what you have. Like, it's, you don't have, it's such a raw form of storytelling. You have to make the story happen, you know, like, right there. And so everything that we were doing with the camera is, like, so important. And I think that was, like, its own little kind of film school experience for me, because I've come out of it with, like, just a lot of technical knowledge that I think's empowered me to make better choices.
It looks like you've built a really great relationship up with the camera from where I'm looking, because I feel like everything live action on your reel feels cohesive. You know, it feels like it all works together. You've got a definite, you've got a definite look that you're leaning into from your documentary to, you know, your commercial work. I can definitely see what you're enjoying, you know, with the camera, and so that comes across great. I love that. I
mean, is there any animation in the feature?
Hey. There isn't actually right now.
Because it's nice when they do that, like 500 Days of Summer, where they just put a little
bit. Breaks up. Like, I really like, you know, your Hey Girls Seeing Red thing. Because that bit where we laughed and it's like, smile, love. It's like a car animation bit. And I love little things like that, because it kind of plays on the audience's imagination and lets you kind of, takes you out of the live action side of things brings another arm to it, which I really love.
Have you watched Run Lola Run?
No, I haven't. I know the film as well.
There's a really good, that film is so visionary, and it's crazy because the director, I rewatched it the other day, there's like, and he just became like a set designer or something. Like, he didn't really kind of make more stuff, which I think is just indicative of how hard it is to make a career out of being a filmmaker. But yeah, there's some really good animation in that that comes at you quite a surprise.
It's great that you've got that arm. I think I'm definitely would be very scared of leaning into that.
I think it's one of the, I think you have to be the most imaginative directors to be animation directors. I think it's wild.
Yeah.
We've never actually had animation directors on.
No, we've not actually.
Well, I think it's like, it's really interesting because it's such a hard, it's like a crazy craft. And like, I kind of started in that space, and then I was like, realized like, I don't think this is right for me, for lots of different reasons, but mostly just because I like working with like bigger teams. And when you're working in animation, it's like you, the sound designer, the animator, like maybe a couple of other people. And the burnout is so real, because the amount of like manual labor that goes into like producing it is just really, really, really tough. But I think it's, for me, what's been great about like screenwriting is it's the first time I've worked in a medium where I'm like, I actually don't like, it's like maximum creativity. It's like animation, but you don't have to do any of the work. Like, you could, you can write anything. And it's just been so, like, incredibly, like, liberating to kind of really find, like that is, like, home base. And I think especially coming from, like, short form where you're basically making treatments. So if you can't find a picture of something, you can't write the scene.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just been really amazing to, like, yeah, just a very freeing experience to kind of be able to write and just bring it to life with, like, words.
Very exciting. Are you putting a treatment attached to the script as well? Are you just going to keep it?
Yeah, like, there will be. Someone actually said to me yesterday, he was like, you know, if you ever feel like people are misunderstanding your vision in your, like, film, it's like, just make a mood board. But yeah, there's some, like, visual stuff, but at the moment it's just like, and I kind of love that. It's literally just like black and white text.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah.
I actually sent a couple of scripts. I sent one to this producer friend and he were like, he really enjoyed the script. And he were like, I just wonder if your tone of voice is coming across in it. And I were like, well, you told me not to send the treatment, but this is the treatment. And he read the treatment. He's like, oh yeah, perfect. Yeah. Now I get it.
Which is kind of annoying at the same time.
Well, he's like, he's a bit of a big producer. I think he just reads scripts all the time, you know, but I think I like that challenge as well, though. Like, you know, you want someone to see
you
what the words are doing,
yeah,
rather than having to kind of feed in the images, you know.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's a real challenge, and like, actually, there's a lot of fun in the challenge.
Yeah,
and like, you know, there's like rules, like you can't, you have to write in the present tense, and you have to kind of like, you have to, yeah, it's like its own kind of dance, I feel like. Yeah.
One thing we've not covered, and I don't actually think we need to, because one thing I always say is how you got into the industry and stuff, but I quite like us just going straight into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice, and sometimes we talk about like getting signed and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's basically just like I studied graphic design. I was like making a lot of GIFs, and I was just like in London and I was like out and about and like doing the most, you know, and me and my friends were just like making like zines. We had a club night, we had like, you know, we were just doing the most. And I think from that kind of doing those, having exposure from like working with brands as an illustrator and an animator, yeah, like RSA kind of picked me up, and then the rest has been a long road trying to figure out what the fuck I'm doing.
Again, though, it's just coming from you making work, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. 100%. It's always come from me, like, making.
That is just something, work. Like, you know.
I do think, though, with film, it is a hard one to throw at people, because it's like, it is an expensive medium to work in. Like, the reason why I was, part of the reason why I worked in animation was because I made everything myself. I was like, I draw everything, then I scan everything, then I animate it myself. And I think that is, it's you can't really be DIY in film. You have to be DIY with like at least like 3 or 4 other people who also want to make something together. You have to like make work with your crew. And I think that's so important. Like, and I always say to like mentees or just like people asking similar questions, it's like, make work for your generation with your generation. Cause like the people who you're just like going to like whatever with and like chilling with and, you know, in DMs with, like, they're the people who in like 10 years or 15 years, they're going to be that person and you're going to be that other person. And I think like, yeah, it's just really important to collaborate with your friends.
I agree. Yeah. Surround yourself with the right people.
That was the best hour of my life.
All right, lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
And
thank you.
Catch you soon.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye.